Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26. We'll read from verse 26 through 46. The Catechism in Lord's Day 52 draws attention to that verse 41 that we'll read, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." Let's read Matthew 26, beginning at verse 26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, 'All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee.' Peter answered and said unto him, 'Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended.' Jesus said unto him, 'Verily, I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' Peter said unto him, 'Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee.' Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, 'Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me.' And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.' And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, 'What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, 'Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me.'" That far we read in God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. Excuse me. We read that section in connection with Lord's Day 52 of the Heidelberg Catechism, questions and answers 127 through 129. I'll read those. dealing with the last part of the Lord's Prayer, which is the sixth petition. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment, and besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes till at last we obtain a complete victory. How dost thou conclude thy prayer? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is, all these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. What doth the word Amen signify? Amen signifies, it shall truly and certainly be. For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, is it your confession today that you are and that I am so weak? Do we see that about ourselves? We are so weak that we cannot stand even for a moment without the grace of God. Is that too extreme? Does that sound too extreme? We couldn't stand even for a split second? That's the teaching of Scripture, that apart from the grace of God, we could not stand, even for a moment. And that teaching is reflected in our catechism as well. Not only are we weak in ourselves, but we face what the catechism calls mortal enemies, deadly enemies. We face the devil and the world and our own sinful flesh. Which enemies never cease to assault us. They're always attacking us, never resting, always seeking our destruction. Is that your conclusion and mine? Not only about our weakness, but about our enemies. If that is our conviction, and by the grace of God it is, then we will also pray to our God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to watch and pray so that we not enter into temptation. Peter should have understood that, but how like Peter are we? We should understand that, but we are like Peter. When Jesus had warned his disciples the very night in which he was betrayed, he told them, and we might say, how could they not be listening? But we are just like the disciples and like Peter. He said to them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. And if that were not enough, Jesus even backed up what he said with a quotation from Scripture. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And how did Peter respond? He did not understand the danger as he ought to have. And we are like him. And he responded with self-confidence. He should have responded in prayer. He should have responded with the petition that Jesus had taught earlier in his ministry. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But he didn't. Jesus told them later, when they were in the garden as well, he said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And that's essentially what Jesus teaches in this sixth petition. The fifth petition that we looked at last week taught us to pray that God would cleanse us from the guilt of sin. And now the sixth petition is a prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray that God would cleanse us from the pollution of sin. Lead us not into temptation. We take that as our theme. Let's note in the first place the danger that we face. Secondly, the petition that we pray in light of that danger. And lastly, the confidence with which we pray this petition and all the petitions. And there we're looking at the end of the Lord's Prayer. Do we believe that the danger is great? Or do we take it lightly? Do we really believe that we are in danger? The Catechism says our mortal enemies, our deadly enemies, cease not to assault us. They never stop. Satan and his fallen angels never rest. They don't take a vacation. Jesus warned Peter about Satan. Luke, we didn't read this, but on the same occasion, Luke records this. Luke 22, verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan is going to take you, Peter, and he's going to violently shake you. And he's going to try to destroy you. Did Peter take that warning seriously? And do we take the warning seriously about the danger that we face? That's serious business. What Jesus told Peter, and what Scripture says to us as well, the danger. That warning wasn't just for the disciples back then. That danger continues. I find it striking and significant. Jesus warned Peter about that, and Peter didn't listen as he ought to have. But then later, Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he wrote 1 Peter, says to all the saints of all the ages, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Things did not change. The danger of the devil and his schemes did not change after Jesus went to the cross. That danger remains for you and for me. He never tires, the devil. And his malice towards us and all of God's people never changes. He never means well. But he wants to destroy us, and he would, if he could, he would destroy us completely. Always going about looking for prey, the devil and all his angels. So I say, do we take that danger seriously? Do we take the schemes of the devil seriously? I think I've mentioned this book before. We have on our shelves somewhere in the house, Death in the Grand Canyon. And it lists all the different ways in which people have died in the Grand Canyon. There's those who fell off cliffs because they didn't take the danger seriously of walking near the edge, thinking, well, what if I lost my balance? I could fall off. Or they're walking in some canyon and not taking seriously the danger of some flash flood coming. So they didn't check the weather, or they didn't consider the danger of hiking in the middle of the summer in all of that heat without enough water. You could take the whole message of that book and put it into one summary statement. Know the dangers and take them seriously. Common sense. We have to know the danger of the wiles of the devil and take it seriously. The devil has all kinds of schemes. He has a temptation to fit every circumstance. He has temptations that are specific for men, and he has temptations that are specific for women. He has temptations that are specific for those who are single, and he has temptations that are specific for those who are married. He has temptations for the old, and he has temptations for the young. He has all kinds of different schemes that he takes, temptations for teachers and for students, for those who stay at home and take care of children, and those who work 9 to 5. Do we take the devil seriously? You can stop next to a lion in a safari park. If you are inside your car, then it is safe. And maybe keep the doors locked as well. But as soon as you don't take that danger seriously and you say, he's way over there, I can get out of the vehicle and I can take a picture, then we're not taking the danger seriously. There's no place in all of the earth, there's no corner of our lives, there's no time of the day where we can say to ourselves, I don't face the dangers of the devil. Even in church, the devil is active. In the church body, even in the worship service, he's trying to distract us. And his goal is our destruction. Now it's true. The devil can't snatch us out of the hand of our Savior. God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, his Son, are holding us in his hand. But think of the havoc that the devil is able to cause in our families, in our marriages, in the church. Think of the damage that he is able to do. And think of the shame also that he can bring to the cause of Jesus Christ. Do we take the danger seriously? When we're in the workplace and maybe have interactions with someone of the opposite sex, or when we're at home and we're on the internet, do we take the danger seriously? Deadly enemy. The devil is, but also the world that the Catechism speaks of as one of our deadly enemies, are all those wicked who are under the dominion of Satan, all those who serve him, and who therefore are instruments in the devil's hands. And they also would lead us astray. Jesus says to the Pharisees, who were part of the religious establishment of that day, he says to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. You are carrying out the desires of your father, the devil. And the devil uses even believers as instruments in his hands sometimes. And I bring Peter again as an example when Jesus says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Because Peter was an instrument in the devil's hands to wreak, seeking to wreak havoc at that moment. But the devil uses the world to put all kinds of temptations in front of us. The devil uses the world in its hatred towards God's people to persecute. Some places in the world, there is persecution that even seeks to physically harm God's people for their faith. But what about persecution in the workplace? When you face the ridicule of others because you will not go along with their wickedness, because you will not go along with the taking of God's name in vain, or because of the jokes that are being told. There's subtle persecution there too. Sometimes the world uses seducing temptations, putting before us all the pleasures that it glorifies. It's not a coincidence that the world produces all kinds of filth on the internet, on the television, all kinds of filth in the music that it plays over the airwaves, glorifying wickedness, all kinds of wickedness. It's not a coincidence that the world pushes its aberrant sexual agenda. So that even the church begins to be affected by the world's view that this is the way I was born, or I can choose whenever I want, whatever I want to be. And that makes its way even into the church, so that there are those who even profess to be believers and live in homosexual relationships. The world is an agent in the devil's hands, also seeking to lead us astray. There's the devil, then, there's the world. And the Catechism doesn't forget our own sinful flesh. That also is an enemy to us. Our old corrupt nature that we inherited from Adam, that is only evil. James says about our old nature this: but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And you see what the old man does. He opens the door to the devil, and he opens the door to the world, and he listens to the wicked messages from the devil and the world, and he looks at those things that the devil sets in front of him or her. Loves the company of the world, listens to the lies of the devil. And so the devil and the world put before us and say, this is the way of happiness. If you want to be happy, seek after your own pleasure, follow your own desires. And our old man listens. That's why the Catechism describes our condition this way. We are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. We are so weak by nature. We are so weak apart from the grace of God. That's the danger that you and I face. Part of that stems from our pride. And now I bring in that example of Peter, so that we remind ourselves how, like Peter, we can all be. He says in Matthew 26, verse 35, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." And as recorded in Luke, "Although all men should be offended, even though everyone else, yet will I never." And do we not think that way? When you hear of someone who falls into a great and horrible sin, is that not your thought and my thought? "Though they have done that horrible thing, yet I would never." Do you ever think that way? Because if you do, you are deceiving yourselves. And if I think that way, I am deceiving myself. That's exactly what Peter did. That's what he said. "I would never." But the fact of the matter is, that shows our pride. The fact of the matter is, we are all capable of even the most horrible of sins. Like Peter, who denied his Savior 3 times in a row. "I don't even know him." Or like David, who was a godly man, and yet who fell into adultery and murder. Given the right circumstances, we are all capable of the most horrible of sins. Jesus warned Peter on that night, warned him beforehand, warned him again while they were in the garden, but he warns us too. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." We are all capable. We are so weak in ourselves. Do we believe that? That we cannot stand a moment. Well, if we believe that, and by God's grace we believe that, then we will pray this petition: "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Do not lead us into temptation. James 1 verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.'" When we pray that, "Do not lead us into temptation," you understand it's not speaking of God tempting us. God doesn't tempt us to try to get us to sin. That would run exactly contrary to his nature. So James says, "Don't say, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." But we pray this petition to God because he controls our circumstances. God, by his providence, controls all the circumstances of our lives. And so it might be, in his providence, he might bring us into a circumstance that could be tempting towards us. He might, in his providence, give us great riches. And those riches might be a temptation. so that we think to ourselves, I have all this, I got all this for myself, I really don't need God to provide for me. Or in His providence, He might bring us into great need. He might cause that we would be poor. And then there's the temptation in that circumstance that we might become bitter. Or we might be tempted to steal. And so the petition, lead us not into temptation, is a petition. Don't make it that my circumstances would be such that I would be tempted to sin. Don't bring me into contact with somebody who is angry so that when they come against me in anger, I might respond in the same way. Don't bring me into that circumstance if it can be avoided, because I know in the right circumstance, I could easily sin against my spouse or against my children or against my neighbor because I am so weak. When Jesus was in the garden, He prayed, and His disciples slept. And they should have been praying, but their flesh was weak. They couldn't stay awake even 1 hour. And I'm sure if we had been in those same circumstances, we also would have done just like these disciples. So Jesus says to His disciples, and here's a warning to us as well, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. To watch, it has the idea of being alert, keep a lookout. Watch out for the dangers, watch out for all the different ways that the devil seeks to tempt us. And if we watch, if we're on guard, if we understand the dangers, then we will also pray. Those two go together. If we're not watchful, we don't think about the danger at all, then we think, why do I need to pray? Everything's good. So Jesus says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Watch beforehand so that that watching and that guarding alertness leads you into prayer. And be watchful in even our prayers. Pray to God for His help. Watch and pray with that purpose that I not have to face temptation. Those two go together. And when we pray that, the Catechism explains the idea of that. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we're praying that God would preserve us. Do thou therefore, seeking the grace of God, do thou therefore preserve us and strengthen us. We need that. In the first place, notice that the petition implies our weakness in ourselves. We looked at that already. But that all of our strength, the strength wherewith we are able to stand, is by the grace of the Holy Spirit. We can't stand in our own strength. And what's so striking also about that whole incident with Peter and the disciples is that at that very time, Jesus was going to the cross. He was on his way to that suffering that would earn for us all the blessings of salvation, every single one of them. He would earn for us the gift of the Holy Spirit, who sustains us, who gives us life. So that prayer acknowledges that all our strength is from God. We cannot fight the battle on our own. But then in the second place, the prayer, the petition, that sixth petition, is a prayer for preservation. We say to our God, Lord, if thou wilt preserve me, then I will never fall away. Although we will stumble. We will stumble. We will wander from our God. Sometimes we'll stumble badly. There are God's people. Godly people who do stumble badly. David and Peter are those two examples, but there are many others throughout Scripture. We will stumble, but we will not fall away completely because of the grace earned for us by Jesus Christ and because He holds us in His hand. Preserve us. So that we are not completely overcome. So that we do not renounce our faith and just say, forget it all. And the devil does present that temptation to God's people sometimes. To just say, I just forget the church because they have experienced some great trouble in the church. But God holds us. Do thou preserve us. And also, strengthen. He's not saying, keep us the way we are, but rather that prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, is a prayer that God would strengthen us. Strengthen us so that we would constantly and strenuously resist all our spiritual foes. Because the truth is, we're not very constant and we're not very strenuous in our resistance. Sometimes we have very little resistance. But then pray again this petition and for the blessings Christ has earned for us. Strengthen. Strengthen us so that we put on the whole armor of God. Strengthen us so that we fight against all our spiritual enemies. Maybe some would have it that we are never strengthened, but then I say, why even pray for that if that's the case? There's no hope to be strengthened. Don't even pray. No. strengthen us so that we resist more constantly and more strenuously. And when we pray this petition, yes, we are praying, preserve us, keep us so that we don't fall away, strengthen us so that we grow, and it looks forward finally to the victory that we will obtain in Jesus Christ. It looks forward to that full victory when we are taken into glory. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from this evil world. Deliver us from all the wiles of the devil. Deliver us from our old man when we are finally taken to glory. We mustn't expect that victory in this life, but we ought to look forward to it, that full victory. And then the Catechism points at the end of the Lord's Prayer and expresses a confidence. Confidence that we end our prayer with this confidence as regards this petition, but all the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We end our prayer with the confidence God will answer our prayers. Jesus knew when he gave this instruction that we are all weak creatures. He knew when he gave the instruction to his disciples about how to pray, he knew that they were weak, he knew that we are weak, and that we need to be encouraged and have confidence in our prayers. So he teaches us to end our prayers with, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." When we say that, "thine is the kingdom," we're saying the whole kingdom of which we are a part, we who by grace have been made members of that kingdom belongs to God. It is thy kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. And thou art the king who rules over all the citizens of the kingdom. And thou art the king who holds each of thy citizens in thy mighty hand. Thine is the kingdom, and thou dost rule by grace in the church and in the hearts of thy people. And thine is the kingdom. Thou art the king who rules over all things in the whole of the creation. He rules with a purpose. Thine is the kingdom. Thou dost rule over all things to bring us good. So Jesus teaches us to end with that confidence. Thine is the kingdom and the power. As the king, he desires to do us good, but he is also powerful. And who can stand in the way of our God when he wants to do us good, when he would protect us from all the wiles of the devil? Who can stand against God? The devil himself and all the devil's angels combined cannot overcome the powerful hand of our God. Thine is the power and the glory. All the glory belongs to God, and he will bring himself glory. He will see to it that he is glorified in the salvation of his saints. God will be glorified in your salvation and my salvation. He will be glorified when he answers those prayers that we utter to him. When we say, I prayed that God would protect me from the evil, and by his grace he protected me in this particular circumstance. And he will receive the glory. Thine is the glory. And then one last element that expresses the confidence is that word, amen. Jesus teaches us to end our prayers with that word of confidence, amen. And that idea means it shall certainly be, the Catechism expresses it. It shall truly and certainly be. Believe that. So that when we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, believe that. God answers that prayer and all the petitions that we utter to him. He answers us for Christ's sake. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Preserve our faith. Strengthen us in our walk. Help us, O Lord, to fight strenuously and constantly against all of those deadly enemies, so that thy name would be glorified. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we are weak creatures, creatures of the dust, constantly affected by the old man of sin and the world that surrounds us and the devil and all his wiles. So protect us, we pray, and strengthen us for thy name's sake. Forgive us where we have fallen short, and continue to lead and guide us by thy Spirit. For thy name's sake, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.